And welcome to Behind the Mic Radio, and I am your host, Dawn Mack, and I want to say hello and welcome to everyone out there today. And today is special where, first of all, we're on at a particular time that we're not normally on. Usually we're on in the evenings, but today we are on because we have pretty much daytime royalty coming to us, and we're going to be having Eric Braden on with us in the next few minutes. We're waiting for him to call in now, but I am so excited about this interview today because, as you know, yesterday, the Young and the Restless celebrated 40 years on air, and they have been the longest-running, number-one rated daytime, CBS daytime drama, you know, in the soap world. So it has been, you know, just quite a last couple of few days between watching the show and watching all the festivities on social media that the stars and the cast have been putting out there. It's been quite exciting. And so, you know, today I want to let you know that we're just so excited to have him. And I believe we have someone calling in now, so we shall see.
Dawn, I have Eric Braden for you.
Hi.
Here he is.
Thank you.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello. How are you, Eric?
How are you? Are you in North Carolina?
I am in North Carolina. Yes, indeed.
You see? How nice. How
well
I remembered.
I'm sorry?
I said, how well I remembered.
Yes, indeed. You have a wonderful memory. And, of course, I'm sure where you are today is a lot warmer and a lot prettier. North Carolina can't seem to decide if it wants to be nice and sunny and warm or still kind of winterish. So we're indecisive at the moment. But so it is just such a pleasure having you with us today. And if I may, I'd like to properly introduce you. May I do that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, today our guest, our very special guest, is a film and television icon. He is an Emmy Award and People's Choice Award winning actor, as well as a political activist. He has starred as arguably one of the most popular characters in daytime history for over 32 years as Victor Newman on the number one rated CBS daytime drama, The Young and the Restless. He is much more than one of the most recognizable faces in daytime television, however. He is a successful feature film actor and producer and a man of carefully measured opinions on important national and international issues. We proudly welcome our very special guest, Eric Braden. Hello again and welcome.
That's a hell of an introduction. My God.
Well, you're welcome.
How can I possibly live up to that?
Well, you know, I think that you deserve it first and foremost, and I guess the best way to start off our interview is to, I want to personally congratulate you as well as the entire cast and crew on 40 outstanding years of Y&R success in daytime television. I mean, yesterday marked the 40th anniversary. What a stellar feat, especially in this age of television.
It is remarkable when you think about it, but you know we work so fast that you hardly have time to reflect upon that. I already forgot that it was yesterday, and we had a big celebration. But the appetite of this medium is so voracious that you need to churn it out every single day. So we are already back in the saddle, and as if nothing happened, you know, it just keeps on going on and on.
Well, and that is why you guys, I think, have had the success that you've had. And we, the fans, though, I can tell you, we're still kind of reeling from yesterday and just seeing all the festivities all over social media. As I was telling, you know, folks, the listeners before you called, that, you know, it's just been a great few days for us, particularly to watch, especially longtime viewers who have followed the storylines and followed the characters. Through the years, through the decades, I should say, and it has kind of grown along with you. So reflect, if you will, on some of the most memorable moments that you have had on Y&R.
I would say one of the most early memorable moments was when Nikki asked Victor about his childhood, and this was around Christmas time, and Victor had theretofore been reluctant to talk about his childhood, and then he finally agreed, and then he talked about having been sent to an orphanage at the age of 7 and left at the doorsteps of that orphanage by his mother. And once I told that story, I knew that I was going to stay on the show, because I knew that would open up avenues for playing all kinds of, you know, complex things and show vulnerability that prior to that, the character had not, he just been had been a hard ass. And now you could see that he had a vulnerable spot.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I love the way that the writers put that in there, because up until that point, you know, we really, Victor Newman was kind of a mystery to the viewers, because, you know, we saw him as this very big, powerful man who, you know, had control over a lot of things. And one of the things that was never really touched on was, you know, his childhood. And so it was really beautifully done, the way it was written. You played it awesomely well. I mean, it was just stellar. And then, like you said, it has opened so many doors until, you know, up until now, even. It's still, you know, kind of a focal point in the character, Victor Newman. So it's just been phenomenal the way that's been done.
To be honest with you, that was the reason I stayed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm very glad that you did, as I'm sure I speak for a lot of YNR viewers. We're very glad that you have been a part of the show. And you know, I know you can't discuss current storylines, but one thing I wanted to mention is right now, YNR is really proving why they have been the number one rated daytime drama for so many years in a row. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's unfolding on the show currently, and just the way, you know, again, we're seeing a side of Victor right now that you don't see very often. I mean, I love when the writers bring out his vulnerable side and his softer side, and they show the audience that he does have a humanness to him that oftentimes is, you know, is hidden because of the protective measure that's always in place. And so it's just, it always just melts my heart all over again when I see that sort of, you know, dynamic taking place in the show.
Well, that's very nice to hear. I'm glad you feel that way. Yeah, and I
yes,
remember
indeed.
How, yes, go on.
Oh no, I'm done. Go ahead.
I said I remember how that came about, because I'd asked Bill Bell, after about 2 years of being on the show, to imbue the character with some kind of a social background or psychosocial background that explained why he was who he was, because no one is really only bad, I don't think. There usually is a reason for someone's, you know, psychological complexes and problems, and
uh-huh.
I wanted him to explore that, and he was a wonderful writer who did that. I'm very grateful to him.
Yes, he was a brilliant writer, and thank God we had Bill Bell, you know, for as long as we did. He's done so much for YNR and just CBS daytime. It's just been unbelievable. Now, one thing I want to also congratulate you on is that in 2010, it marks your 50th anniversary in film and television, and you've starred alongside, you know, the likes of Marlon Brando, Betty Davis, Leonardo DiCaprio, Burt Reynolds. I mean, the list just seems endless. And this is in addition to your success on YNR. So sitting here today, did you ever envision this is where you would be?
No. I had wanted to do the show for 3 months and then leave it again. And they talked me into a year. And the rest is history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
33 years now. No, I did not envision that at all. I've been very lucky, very fortunate. Obviously one of the few people in this town who have worked as long at one job as I have. So I'm very fortunate and very grateful.
Yeah, and especially in the daytime ranks, you know, to have a veteran actor as yourself, you know, in it. The viewers love that. You know, I mean, we love the new faces too, but it's always nice to see the actors who have helped make the soap what it is. And you are no exception to that. And so we're very, very grateful for you, no doubt. You are accomplished in so many areas and undoubtedly one of the most fascinating people I have ever had the wonderful opportunity and honor of meeting. So, you know, just to name a few things, you are a champion discus, javelin, shot put, and soccer athlete. In addition to film and television, you have been nominated seven Emmy Awards and have won the coveted award for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Daytime Drama Series. You're a recipient of the Humanitarian Award and have been awarded the Federal Medal of Honor by the President of Germany, as well as the recipient of the Ellis Island Federal Medal of Honor Award and a Lifetime Achievement Award winner. the impressive list just goes on and on and on. What do you consider to be your greatest achievement?
Say what again? Say the last question again, that last part.
What do you consider to be your greatest achievement?
Oh, boy. That's... oh, boy. Well, that's a tough one to answer. I would say it's what makes me happy, obviously, is my son and my granddaughters and all the other stuff. I would say I'm proudest in many ways of the things I've accomplished in sports, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant a hell of a lot to me. And then I have to be honest that the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, that touched me. That meant a lot to me. Because I came to this town with $50 in my pocket and Los Angeles can be a very lonely place when you come here. I did that over 50 years ago. Didn't know a soul and did all kinds of jobs, from parking cars to washing dishes to moving furniture and et cetera, et cetera. And to then end up years and years later, stand on Hollywood Boulevard and get that star, that meant a lot to me. That touched me deeply. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And you know, as many people that have been awarded that, again, it's something that not everyone gets. And it's so prestigious, you know, to have your star right there. And I actually hope I get to Hollywood one day and I get to see that.
Yeah.
You know, that is on my list of things to do before I die. I'm telling you, I really want to come to Hollywood and just take it all in, you know.
That's right.
You know, but this is coming from a girl who's lived in North Carolina all of her life and has never ventured, you know, very far out. So it's quite a treat and quite a trip. But you know, talk a little bit about how, because you have been in the industry for so long and you've done so many things and you know, accomplished a great deal, but talk a little bit about how you have seen the television and film industry change over your career.
I would say that it has become more corporate, and I think that is to our disadvantage in this business. There used to be more individuals who ran companies. Now it is these, you know, invisible corporations that make decisions, and they have those little boys who graduated from Wharton School or Harvard School of Business, whatever the hell it was, and they have sharp pencils, and they cut in order to offer that company then on the market, where someone else looks at it and says, oh, that's a good buy, and not realizing that they sometimes have taken the guts out of it. And this business is a very tenuous arrangement between business and the creative community. And both have to pay attention to each other. But very often nowadays, I think decisions are made that are purely corporate in nature. And at the expense of some creative stuff. I think that has happened more and more in this business. And then, of course, you have the advent of all the new media outlets, and that makes it difficult for the business end of our business, because there's so much competition now. But when I came here, it used to be more in the hands of individuals. That applies to nighttime television and films, etc. Now you have huge corporations run it.
Yeah, I mean, and it is amazing how it's changed, and there's just so many, you know, facets to it now that even when I was a kid growing up watching TV, I mean, I would have never envisioned that today, you know, you could watch today's episode of Young and the Restless online, you know, later on again if you wanted to. I mean, it's just,
right.
It was just not even, it was unthinkable. And the
right.
way things have evolved and changed. And then, you know, when you think about daytime drama particularly and how it has suffered, at the hands of a lot of these changes,
right.
You know, and then to think about The Young and the Restless, how it has sustained all of those changes in the midst of that is really a testament to the show's success.
Well, that's due to the fact that we were fortunate enough to have been number one for a long time, you know, and otherwise we would have fallen by the wayside as well. And I think it's a short-sighted decision. It is substituted with what? More cooking shows? Or talk shows? Do we want to hear more people talk? blather, you know. It's. I think people instinctively and traditionally and culturally have been interested in evolving stories in the novelistic form. That started with Homer and then went to Dickens and et cetera, et cetera. So I think we have a need for watching people's lives evolve over many years. And there's a kind of, you know, voyeuristic quality in that, but we all have that. We all are interested in watching other people's lives unfold. And if you take that away, I think it's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
But I think one of the reasons for the success of our show has been the fact that starting with Bill Bell, who I have enormous admiration and respect for, that he insisted, he and his wife, Lee Philip Bell, insisted on dealing with storylines that resembled reality in many ways. And we also dealt with contemporary social issues that were important. So that is, I think, what has distinguished this show. And then we have a very good cast of damn good actors, I think, and but always had good writers. So you've been very fortunate.
You have. And, you know, it's been very refreshing to know that through the years, you know, a lot of the same actors, you know, have been with The Young and the Restless and continue to be. And it has just made the storyline so rich because they've grown as the storylines have grown. And I know firsthand, being a longtime daytime, CBS daytime fan myself, you know, I was born into that. My mom's been a longtime fan of YNR. And you know, it just kind of goes back generationally. And I, to tell you, some of the stuff that has taken the place of some of the soaps that have fallen off air is just travesty in so many ways.
Right.
There's only so much you can talk about during a show.
Right.
I would much rather see a serial drama, you know, unfolding and gives you something to look forward to, what's going to happen the next day kind of thing, than to think, you know, this is what we've had as its replacement. You know, it's really a travesty.
Right. Right. Anyway,
I was just going to ask you, one of the things that I've always found most interesting about you is that you starred in and executive produced the Western, The Man Who Came Back. And how much was of a challenge was it for you to take on this dual role?
It wasn't much of a challenge at all. I loved it. I enjoyed that time more than anything. I really enjoyed making that film more than anything I've enjoyed in many, many years. And unfortunately, the bane of the existence of independent producers are the distribution companies. When you make a film like that, you have to give it to a distribution company for it to be distributed, to be seen. And once you sign on their dotted line, they own it. And that is the death knell of a lot of independent producers, because they do with that film what they want afterwards. And to get an accurate accounting of that is very, very difficult. And a lot of independent producers have, subsequent to that experience, given up trying it again because it's simply not worth it. That's why a lot of actors, for example, who have become famous, ask for a lot of money when they make films, because they know they would normally, for creative reasons, agree to get money from at the back end of a film, meaning once it makes money, they get money. But they can't rely on that, because distribution companies lie so much. They obfuscate the numbers on their books so much that you never know how much they did take in. So that's why actors ask for a lot of money up front, to be sure that they get paid.
Well, that makes sense. I mean,
they don't talk about it in the business a lot, but that's the truth.
Well, you know, and it makes sense because it is a gamble. I mean, I would think a lot of companies, you know, that make movies, they put it out there. They really have no way of knowing how well that movie's going to be or how successful it's going to be.
No, but that, of course, that is true. Yeah. But they also, the point, though, is that the accounting is very mysterious. You know, there's the old joke that they have one set of books for the IRS, one set of books for the people who supposedly get a percentage of the back end, and then one set of books for the producers. So there are three sets of books, three sets of accounting. That's the old joke, and I don't think it's that much of a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Would you like to do more behind the camera? Did you, you know, you enjoyed that so much. Would you like to do more producing?
Well, unless I find, unless someone shows me a new way of distributing the film, I won't do it again. No. It's not worth it.
Okay.
It's too frustrating. Unless you do it and you get paid a lot of money up front. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I'm telling you,
telling you very honestly what our experience was, you know. I love doing the film. Loved it more than anything. But you cannot rely on how you get your money afterwards. You can't.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about is recently on Twitter, I saw you put it out there that you're going to be writing your autobiography soon. And so do you have a projected timeline at this time of when
That's a good question. I've been threatening to do it, but I don't know whether I will have to at one time or another. I've almost made a commitment to someone to do it, and so I guess, you know, I will do it by hook or by crook, so we'll see.
Well, you know, you're on screen so much right now that, you know, when I saw that tweet, I was like, well, I guess he just won't sleep because I know how much screen time you've had and do have. And so I thought, when is he going to write this? You know, he'll be walking around the studio speaking into a recorder or something to get it all down, you know. But, because, you know, I thought, wow, that's going to be a feat. But you know, I would not doubt for a second that it could be done, given your, you know, your string of accomplishments that you've done. I mean, they're just endless. So I have a feeling that we will see an autobiography from you at some point. So please
I hope you're right, Don. I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right.
Don't hold your breath now.
Okay, I won't do that since you said.
Yeah.
Well, I know you don't have much time, and we do have a call on hold, someone that wanted to speak with you. Do you have moment to take a call? Okay.
Not
this is
all.
Sabina, and Sabina, you're on live with Eric.
Hi, Eric. My name is Sabina.
Hello, Sabina.
And I have tweeted with you. I really appreciate you tweeting me back. I know you have very limited time and lots of followers that like to tweet you.
That's nice.
A couple of things. I just wanted to tell you, I just absolutely love your voice. It is so sexy and so, I love listening to it. I could listen to it all day.
So nice. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's so nice.
I didn't realize when I've seen you on Young and the Restless, and I think you're a wonderful actor, but I didn't realize how seasoned you were with other movies and television. And so I've got to go backwards now and watch everything I've missed because I love some of the older stuff. And I feel like I was born later than I should have because I'm a huge I Love Lucy fan, huge fan of all the old TV shows and movies that they don't make that anymore, and I miss that.
Yeah, no, they don't. That's true. And, you know, every so often someone tweets something to me and tells me that they saw me in this or that, and I'd already forgotten about the damn thing. So it's always nice to hear that.
Yes, I will definitely be watching, and I will tweet you when I've seen something that I haven't watched yet. And I did want to tell you, I tweeted you about Germany because...
Hold on for one second. Okay, they're on a loudspeaker here. So go ahead. Say that again, please, the last part.
I was just telling you that I tweeted you about the fact that my parents lived in Germany. They lived in Augsburg, Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And I was curious, like, where, compared to where you're from, that
right.
is.
Right. Augsburg is in the south, and I'm from the extreme north. I'm from north of Hamburg. I'm from, it's actually close to the Danish border, between the Baltic Sea and the North Sea.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yep. So
wow,
that's a little...
That's how I got my name.
Oh, really?
That's how I got my name, Sabina. My parents knew a German friend of theirs that had that same name, but they decided to keep the spelling as the German spelling and pronunciation. So it has
that's
the E on the end, and nobody knows how to pronounce it or say it over here.
Sabina.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's nice.
What do you do now?
What do you do?
I'm an aspiring photographer. I love photography, so I'm working towards getting furthering that, and so I actually just shot a wedding this past Saturday. I photographed weddings, my first wedding, so that was fantastic.
Make sure you take photographs when they're not aware of it. Those are the best photographs.
Yes, I do. I do.
Oh, yeah. When people are not aware of it.
I work at a portrait studio.
Oh, yeah. Great. Anyway, I really appreciate, I wanted to say, I appreciate your tweets, and I appreciate everyone's tweets. I didn't think that I would even get involved in that. But I must say, it's very nice to hear an immediate response, and it's kind of fun.
Yes,
you know?
I'm so glad you are tweeting. Thank you so much, and I look forward to tweeting you more on Twitter and watching all of the movies that I have not yet seen that you were in.
That's very nice. The only problem with Twitter is that you can't write, you know, enough. What? How many characters? How many words? I forget. And there's a limit to it.
40 characters.
There's a limit to it. But otherwise, I guess we would all be too long-winded.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice talking to you,
Sabrina. It was so nice chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. All right.
Thank you, Sabrina.
Thank you, Dawn.
All right.
Eric, I have one fun question for you before I let you go, and it has to do with Twitter. And in your opinion, what do you think Victor Newman would think about the whole social media and Twitter craze?
Well, I don't know what he would think about it. What I personally think about it is I was introduced to it, and I'm beginning to sort of like it. You know, it's mm-hmm. I think it's incredible. I think it's very good. In other words, you get an immediate response to what you've done, to what you said, and I think it's incredible. I think it's a good way to check on our politicians and to not let them get away with bullshit. And I think it's my God, what we all found out in no time at all, whatever happens in any part of the world, it's just extraordinary. And I like it, I must say. It's a little overwhelming sometimes. You need to shut off sometimes. But I do that when I do sports, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
But I think it's great. I really do.
Well, we're so glad you're on Twitter, and you are awesome about, you know, tweeting the fans and your followers. We really appreciate that because we know how busy you are, and to take any time out to do that is just incredible. So thank you so very much.
Well, I appreciate them, to be honest with you. I really do. Yeah.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you so much for being our special guest today. And again, congratulations to you and everyone at YNR for 40 great years. And I wish you nothing but much continued success. We want 40 more and beyond.
Thank you very much. And I really appreciate that. And you say hello to everyone. And who knows? Maybe another, I don't know, 20, 30, who knows? Let's hope for the best. Okay.
That's right. Well,
right.
I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you.
Where do you live in North Carolina?
I live kind of in between Greensboro and Raleigh-Durham, so I'm kind of right in the middle of the state.
Between Greensboro and Raleigh-Durham. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great airport in Raleigh-Durham. I like it.
It's a great
airport. And that triangle there is just, boy, is that intellectually productive. Very proud.
Yeah.
And then last year I went to Bath. You know, and visited with a friend and visited friends, and I like that place a lot. So beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
North Carolina is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I
love it. So, it's great because we have the mountains on one end of the state, the coast on one end of the state, and you're about 3 hours away from either. So just pick your destination and you can go. So it's
fantastic.
Great. It's, thank you. I won't hold you any longer. Thank you so very much for making time for us today. We greatly appreciate it, and we hope to talk to you again, especially when that autobiography comes out.
All right. I thank you.
All right. Thank
You'll
you.
Cool.
And take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, there you have it, our special guest, Eric Braden. What a great, great guest. I love talking with him, and every time I speak with him, it is just always you know, I'm always in amazement because he is the most, indeed, the most fascinating person I think I've ever met in my life. I could listen to him talk for hours about everything under the sun. He is so knowledgeable and knows so much about so much, and truly does know. I mean, he is seasoned in a lot of areas, and he knows he's had a lot of experiences to draw from, and he's, of course, a phenomenal, brilliant actor. So we have just, you know, we're very lucky to get him today, considering everything that's been going on with YNR and the 40th anniversary celebration. So we want to say a huge thank you to him and his management and, you know, CBS, Sony, and all those great folks there who made that possible today. And that is going to wrap our show, folks, and I hope that you enjoyed it. If you're a first-time listener, I do hope that you will be back. We welcome you aboard anytime, and we've had a great time today. Our next show will be tomorrow evening, so you'll want to be watching for tweets on that. And we've got some great guests coming. Just remember, at the end of this week, we have got Robin Mattson on Friday from General Hospital. He plays the role of Heather Weber, and so we are extremely excited about speaking with her. And just to preface this, we are only going to have her for 30 minutes on Friday evening, and the interview starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you are interested in calling in and speaking with her, because as you know, she doesn't do that many interviews, we will have lots to talk about, but we do want to take some calls as well. So if you can try to call in, you know, say 5-10 minutes before we go live, so we can screen the calls and get everybody on board. You know, we would love for you to do that if possible. Our number is 347-945-6965, and we would love to have as many of you speak to her as we possibly can fit in the time frame that we have. So we're looking very, very forward to that. 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday night with Robin Mattson from General Hospital. Well, that's going to do it today, folks, and thank you so much for being here with us again, and we look forward to being right back here with you very soon. Take care, all. Enjoy your evening. Good night.
One taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast and, as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.